so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
At Club Fitness, we lift local all year, and now we're celebrating Independence Day all month. Join by July 31st for just $4.
Independence makes a difference. As a local, employee-owned company, Club Fitness operates independently and works to lift our community to healthier, happier lives.
So join for just $4 at any of our 24 locations and...
lift local, St. Louis.
Club Fitness, the right fit for everybody. Join in July for just $4. See Club for details.
Wow, has it really been 10 years? Denise from Appliance Discounter is here to tell you that time really does fly when you're having fun. My brother Tony and I started out with one location and one appliance line and have now grown to 6 locations, a variety of appliance lines, including GE, and an amazing Appliance Discounters family. We love serving the St. Louis area and are so grateful for the customers that have put their trust in us. We know you can shop anywhere, but at Appliance Discounters, we'll always treat you right. Thank you to our customers for 10 successful years, and we look forward to many more to come.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Yes, America is the greatest land of all now, but if places like Berkeley have anything to say about it, it's just not going to be the same. We have to at some point say, enough, this is ridiculous. I would like to say thank you and congratulations to some AM and the PM people who are Johnny Londoff customers. Anthony and Deborah Meyer bought a 2019 Equinox, and they are AM and the PM. Neil Williams is AM and the PM. We bought a a 2019 Silverado. He's AM and the PM. And a guy named Kelly that I called earlier, I called this morning and thanked him for his business and for listening. He also, I believe, bought a 2019 Silverado. He's AM and the PM. Thank you, Kelly. Do you see? Smart people. There are two things about people that let you know they're smart. One, they're AM and the PM. And two, because of that, they buy their Chevys and their pre-owned vehicles from Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. So we appreciate it so much when you do what these folks did and let them know you're AM and the PM. It is a, it's not just a big help. It's necessary. It's crucial to what we do and our ability to keep it going. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, he is unable to be on the phone with us today, but he did tell me this morning they had a really, really good, nice, busy weekend with a bunch of AM and the PM people there. Sometimes they'll go in the shop and they'll come back and buy, and several of them obviously bought this weekend. So we appreciate you. We appreciate you giving them a shot at your business. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. And if you were using the heat as an excuse, step outside. Can't do that anymore. This is great. I walked out this morning and I thought, man, this is like I took a flight and didn't know it, landed in a different part of the world than the last couple of days. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, 24/7 at Londoff.com.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Time for a little tech talk help. I spent an hour today at my computer at home with my son, my older son, and he was able to do something I absolutely could not figure out how to do. And I mentioned it to Josh and said, oh, it probably went to iCloud. And I thought, that's exactly what we ended up doing. I'll tell you what it was in a minute. First, I need to tell you that Josh Bauman is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States for all kinds of great reasons. Good product, good people, good warranty, good housekeeping seal of approval. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com if you want to know more. And please do not put in replacement windows without at least looking at the one the more people buy than any other, by far, in this country. Window World. Give it up for Josh Bauman.
Hello, everybody.
Josh. Now, you just drove in. You left at 6:30 this morning and drove right here from?
Arkansas City, Kansas. Not Arkansas City.
It's the one word, Arkansas.
Arkansas. Spelled like Arkansas.
Right. Arkansas, but they don't say Arkansas, but it's spelled the same. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yep, very interesting.
Arkansas City, Kansas.
And they will correct you if you say it Arkansas.
Sure they will. 7-hour drive.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why were you there, can I ask?
My wife's grandmother lives there, yeah. And we were there to see her. She's 89 years old, and we haven't been to her house in quite a while, so we went out and hung out with her for 4 days. So
now you have a son.
Yeah, Jackson. Yep.
Does he like visiting grandma? Because some kids hate going to see their grandparents.
Jackson loves grandma, great-grandma.
Yeah, that's good.
Loves her. Yeah, loves her to death. So and kind of got into a little interesting situation last night because of her. So they were asked to leave a casino.
Oh, no, I've been there. Yeah. I've been asked to get my second son. We were, I remember from the Indian casino, or it was in Vegas, and he could, from a distance, and he could see the slot machines. He go, that's what looks like. So I said, okay, just take a look. He wasn't there 15 seconds, and here comes some floor pit boss, guard, whatever, go, I'm sorry, you have to leave the casino, take your stuff. They do not let kids in the casino.
Yeah, she wanted to let him see her gamble, and...
But imagine if you're a kid and you see all the slot machines. That's got to be, whoa.
Giant video games.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Of course he'd want to see it. So your son's already kind of a criminal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, almost right. A criminal record thanks to his great-grandmother.
So I will share with people what happened this morning. I have a 10-year-old Mac computer, and I know that's old. But it still works. It's slow. And I don't ever go look at the photos, because there was a time when you plug your phone in, it automatically synced and dumped all your pictures. So I never look at it. And I started going through, for whatever reason, I thought, oh my goodness, look at this from 10 years ago, from 8 years ago. And I thought, I want to put a couple of these on my phone. But I didn't know how to do it. So my son was over, and he went down the office with me, and we are trying and trying. Nothing we do is working. Nothing, nothing. And finally, he said, iCloud. And we pulled them. I guess, I don't know if we put them in the cloud and pulled them out. I think we put them in the cloud and then took them from there to my phone.
Yeah. The other option that would have worked for you would you could have dragged, or I guess dragged is the right word. You'll correct me, I'm sure. To Google Photos, and then if you had the Google Photos app on your iPhone, they would have been there automatically. You could have downloaded them to your phone from Google Photos as well.
Ah. Okay.
So there's two ways to do almost everything.
Does anybody here have anything for Josh? Any technical thing? Any hang-ups? Any problems? No? Nothing?
Nothing that I know of.
Anybody buy anything from Prime Day over the last
week? My daughter did. Nope.
I don't. Mm-hmm.
She bought an Apple Watch.
Did she?
Yeah.
Those were on sale. Pretty good sale.
Yeah.
I do want to mention one thing, though. I don't know if we've talked about this. Every single person listening will relate to this, and if you don't, you are far more organized than most of us. How many times have you had something and it needs to be charged and you have no idea where the charger is?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you don't get another charger for something else because it's not going to be the right milliamps.
Right.
That drives me nuts.
I can't tell you how many times I have Canon digital SLR cameras, nicer cameras. And I've lost the battery charger for those, and I don't find it until right before we leave for vacation. So I have to overnight something or beg and borrow from friends. Yeah, I've done it.
Question, what's a milliamp?
Milliamp.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a thousandth of an amp.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just learned
1,000 milliamps is an amp.
So if you look on those power bricks, like some TVs have power bricks, most laptop computers, the AC adapter has that power brick.
Yeah, yeah.
On there will be a label that says power input and power output. And the output on most of those devices is anywhere from 2 milliamps, 3.5 milliamps.
And even though the little plug might plug into the thing you're charging.
Right.
You can fry stuff.
You can burn stuff.
Well, I knew about amps, but I had no idea they went down to milliamps. So thank you for teaching me something.
Well, you're welcome. And so we learned that, and I told these guys, I have a Bose speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Bluetooth, you play your music through it. I lost the charger. So it'll run with AC plugged in, or you use the same thing to charge. It could not find it anywhere, and I like that speaker. So I got an Amazon. Okay, $22. Yep. The day that it came, I found the charger. So now I have two chargers. No. One of these days, we'll all learn. The minute you buy something,
absolutely.
Label, stick a masking tape, write it on there what that charger is for, and keep it near the thing.
It's funny because we had a conversation at work not that long ago. We have boxes and boxes of just random power brick adapters like that sitting, and we have no clue what they go to. And I tell the guys that work with me, I'm like, don't throw any of this away, because tomorrow, if you throw it away today, tomorrow we'll find the piece of equipment that this goes to and need the power adapter.
Right, Saturday, in my basement is a box of chargers. All these things that plug in the wall, and on the other end is something that plugs into right. something. I don't know what any of them are for.
Yep.
I wish, listen to me, manufacturers, why don't you put on the charger what the product is? Because half the time it's not on there. The
problem is most of those manufacturers buy those adapters from the cheapest vendor. So they're making the product.
For other equipment.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What do you have to share with us?
Well,
you know what? You have a caller ready.
Hey, let's do it.
Let's do that first. Listeners first. That's our motto. Kind of like ladies first, but listeners first. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, I'm in the PM.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a question as much of an observation that if you guys don't have your two-step verification turned on with Amazon, you should do it immediately when the show's done, because I got hacked on my Amazon account. They didn't buy anything, but the point being, I found out how they did it. If I call into Amazon and I say, hey, I'm Frank Opinion, and here's my email address, I need my password reset. And I mean, and the point being, somebody changed my email destination and my password with their call center, and so Amazon then emailed that person in China with my new password. They logged in as me, so I tried to log in on Saturday to Amazon. My email was different. The password was different.
Wow.
So their security is horrendous. So that, you know, I turned on two-step verification. So
how do you do that? How do you do that? What is two-step verification?
Well, I'm not trying to steal Josh's thunder, but no. It's basically if you make a change or log into your account, it will text you first with a 4 or 5 digit number code,
and then
you have to use that in addition to logging in or making a change.
And you do that every time you buy something? Every time you
No. If you enable your touch code, and you can also, by the way, you can tell it, hey, ignore this device. In other words, you can tell it this browser should be able to log in without the two-step. Then Amazon will not require the code.
Okay.
Like, you know, if you, from your phone. But my point being, somebody called into the call center with my email address, and they changed the password and my email, and Amazon let them do it. And so they were logging into my account, and they didn't buy anything. But the point being, Amazon admitted they were at fault, and they admitted it was their mistake, but they didn't even verify who I was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty
normally
crazy.
Like 3 security questions or something.
The debit card or credit card you have on file with us, one of the last purchases you've made with us, something along those lines.
And that could have just been one employee, stupid employee.
Absolutely.
Who didn't follow the rules, probably.
Yeah, it was in the Philippines, their Philippines call center. But in any case, the bottom line is, by enabling two-step verification, that made it possible to not get hacked. And then the funny thing is, Amazon called me this morning and said, oh, somebody called in last night to change your password and your email again. So then the point being, now I created a new Gmail account.
Sure.
With a brand new email address, and I'm starting from scratch. But, you know, all my existing orders are in that email, but it's such a pain. You know, they didn't buy anything, but I'm pretty sure they were getting ready to.
Yeah, so take it one step further. Turn on two-step verification or multi-factor verification for your Gmail account as well. I highly recommend. And social media, any social media accounts you have, turn on two-factor auth or multi-factor auth. That'll help prevent you from getting hacked.
Yeah, right. And the last thing I'll say is, the interesting thing is, I bought something from a Chinese company about a week and a half ago, and I kind of think they took my email address and did something.
Interesting.
Could be. All right. Thank you, Brian.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Bye.
Appreciate it.
So if you're interested in doing that in Amazon, you can open up the Amazon app on your phone or go to their website, go to your account, and then the login and security section. Two-factor authentication is inside there. They call it two-step verification.
When you've taken this call from Jim, there's something I'd like to talk to you about. That's this app going around where people are taking pictures of themselves.
That
called
was
Face
turning something old. I was going to talk about today.
All right, awesome. Yeah,
Face. It's called
Face App.
Face app, and you don't want to use it.
Let's get Jim, and then we'll do that. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hi, Josh Bauman, and I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, heard you talking about the power cords that are misidentified or you don't know what they go to, and that is a problem. The flip side of that problem is if you're on the road and you need the power cord and you've forgotten it or misplaced it, I have discovered that if you go to the front desk of most major chain hotels, they will bring out a box full of all sorts of stuff, and you will, I'm 90% sure you'll find what you're looking for.
Like
that, but that's usually for cell phone chargers.
Well, or it's a lost and found of adapters that are left behind.
But just because it fits and you put,
no.
You got to be careful if it's an iPhone charger.
No, you're right.
Fine, but
you're
if you've got a, I don't know, I can think of a good example.
Laptop.
Yeah. Old DVD, mobile DVD,
portable DVD player.
Yeah. So here's the trick though. On the back of that device, yeah. There is an input rating that will tell you what milliamps and voltage that it
make
requires.
Make sure that plug-in brick, that black
has
thing,
to match.
Matches.
Yes, yeah. Has to match.
Yeah, but I had heard that hotels do have, because look, this man goes, oh, I forgot my iPhone charger. Well, first of all, you get an iPhone charger for $5 or something at the grocery store.
Yeah,
but they do have them. They'll loan them to you. I think he's gone. Before Josh speaks again, I haven't even given the numbers, and I should. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Okay, go ahead.
So let's talk about that face app. Limey, do you want to lead this in?
All right. So basically, there's this new app that's been just taken over Facebook, and it is all over the world. Right?
Correction, it's not new. It came out in 2017.
Well,
all right.
This is awkward. No, this is awkward.
All right.
No.
Well, there's one that's similar to that too. It's called Fat App. It's called. There's another one, too. They're all the same type of apps.
Well, this one has gone viral recently,
yes.
Joshua.
Yes.
And basically, everybody's using it to take pictures of themselves and, hey, look at me, I'm old.
My daughter-in-law sent me a picture. Oh, look, here I am at 60.
Well, now, apparently, some Russian company owns all the rights to your daughter-in-law's, like, face, pictures that she's used, anything that's up on social
Can
media.
Can I tell you why
like
that doesn't worry me? If it's my picture, her picture, so what? What are they going to do with it? Here's a picture of my daughter-in-law that's not even really her. It's her, the way she would look at 60. So what? What are they going
to
do with it?
Well, no, it's not just that picture that they have the rights to. They have the rights to, like, pretty much a bunch of other social media content, like anything she signs.
I think they do anyway.
So what, well, right. This leads into a whole other discussion of security and rights and what permissions you're actually handing over when you open up an account with social media. Limey, you're right. This app has gone totally viral in the last, week and a half, 2 weeks. It's called Face App. It came out in 2017. I think the downloads were over 1.5 million in the last week and a half. Here's the concerning thing. In the process of making yourself look old, you upload a photo to this company.
You know how I do it? I take a picture myself.
Sure, right.
Just a regular picture.
That works.
Hey, here I am old.
So in their user agreement, this is a statement that you agree to by using their app. You grant FaceApp a perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid, transferable, sub-licensable license to use, to reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, translate, create a derivative, work from, distribute. Anyway, this goes on and on and on. You're giving them, you're giving them access to that photo that you're uploading for more or less forever to do whatever they want to do.
Well, they can't use it for commercial sales.
They can't. But here's the, I guess, conspiracy theorist in me. If someone wants to build a database of faces for facial recognition, what better way to do it than to have an app that just happens to go viral? And now 1.5 million people have uploaded their faces unknowingly to this app.
I don't lose a minute's sleep over that stuff.
I don't lose sleep over it, but it's
something that... Look at all the facial recognition phones. I have one.
Sure.
That phone and all those phones know in 3D your face.
And that's a little bit different because they don't have rights to use your face at that point.
Okay. Do you read the fine print on every app you download?
Not every app.
Not all of them, but most of them more recently, yeah. You read the fine print.
Here's the thing, though, and I'm sure this is part of you going to cybersecurity school, that you're seeing more of this. You're becoming more interested in this privacy part of apps. If you're using an app that is free, Facebook, Instagram, if you're using a free app and you're not paying for the product, you are the product. They are data mining you. They are using something from your account to sell to an advertiser or a third party to make money off of you. And that's the high and low of it. And if this app, if this issue with this app makes people start having a conversation about privacy and security online, I'm all for it. It's a little bit conspiracy theorist, but I think it's definitely worth having a conversation, because I don't think the vast majority of people realize what they're saying they agree to when they hit accept.
They don't have any idea when they sign the mortgage papers.
That too, right. That's a bigger issue too. Yeah. I mean, right. People don't read anything they sign.
Apples and oranges.
Right. So if it creates a bigger conversation about privacy, fine.
But look
so
at all it. The apps that require Snapchat.
Yeah, right? No, they're all the same
little,
way.
Oh, let's put a hat on you and rabbit ears and
yep.
whatever. They got your picture.
Yep.
And it probably says something in that agreement too.
I'm sure it does.
I just, yep. I'm at the point where I just don't worry about that.
And maybe we shouldn't worry, but it is, I think people, I mean, they have the right to know, and they're being told. It's just nobody reads the privacy statement.
They don't read and they don't care. So I don't think. Okay, can you talk to Steve? Let's talk to him. Steve,
sure.
Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hi, Josh, and I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, I'm looking at those wireless security cameras that you can access with your iPhones and stuff.
Sure.
What's the best deal on them as far as the cameras and then the contract that you got to sign for?
Sure.
You know, what's that supposed to cost every month?
So your big ones out there are going to be Nest, Ring, Arlo. Those are the three that come to the top of my – oh, Blink from Amazon is one that's pretty cool. They all have varying degrees of packages. I know my Nest, I think I'm paying $50 a year for my account, and that dictates how much time I have saved. Blink, I believe I want to say it's free, but I'm not 100% certain of that. Ring, there's a dollar amount to their account as well if you want to save historical time, you know, like a week's worth of video.
Yeah, I have Ring. It's nothing. It's like $10 a year.
Yeah, it's not a lot. Yeah. I would be less worried about what that long run cost is for that online storage. I would want to make sure that whichever one you buy can meet your needs. You know, do you have power ran relatively close to where you're wanting to put one of the cameras? Do you have decent Wi-Fi outside? That's the Blink cameras came up. I was having a conversation with somebody at work. They bought the Blink ones because they run on lithium batteries that are internal and will last 2 years, which I was floored.
The Ring battery lasts 6 months, full months.
And that's crazy, too. So if you have power issues, you may want to lean more towards Ring or Blink. Have you been looking at one over the other?
Not really. We've got the Ring at my mother-in-law's and had nothing but problems.
Really?
And not just with the cameras themselves, but with the billing process.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I'm probably going to stay away from them, but I'm just looking at alternatives, and I thought I'd get your opinion on which way is the best way to go.
Yeah.
Why doesn't anybody have a security camera that sends out a cell signal as opposed to Wi-Fi?
Yeah. So you could, if you had a cellular connection to your Wi-Fi router in your house, you could do it that way. I wonder if there's some hunting cameras that have cell signals. I think they do. They do.
Here's my alarm system at home is not dependent on Wi-Fi at all.
Correct.
If my wife, let's say, comes home and disarms it, every time my phone, and it says phone, home phone disarmed at boop boop boop. If she arms it and I'm not home, or one of my kids does, home alarm just. Arm, stay, or away, or whatever. That's a cell signal.
But the one that I have is reliant somewhat on Wi-Fi, and if I leave my home, which I've actually caught myself doing this several times, if I leave my home and I don't arm the system, it'll say your phone is outside the Wi-Fi boundaries of your house. You forgot to alarm your system.
Which is, that's a really cool feature. Yeah, that's an awesome feature.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah. I've armed mine from out of state.
Oh, it's not that I can't arm it from anywhere. It's if I forget to arm it and I drive away and I'm approaching Highway 44. It says your phone's outside your home Wi-Fi boundary.
Yeah. And you didn't arm your...
You forgot to alarm your system. It'll send me a text.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, Steve, I can't say I'm... I like my Nest. I did not like my Ring, but I would definitely look at Arlo and Blink as well. Just kind of read some of the reviews look on, you know, go to Amazon, read the reviews. Those that's going to be your best resource for I get decent data. You could also Google search Arlo versus Nest or Blink versus Nest and see what comes back.
Very good, thanks.
Yep.
All right, we have John, I believe. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, Frank, John.
Me and the PM.
Thank you.
Okay, I think I did this right, but I want to got a Samsung G6, Galaxy 6.
Okay.
4 o'clock this morning, like hundreds of thousands of others, flash flood warning wakes me up.
Oh, yeah. I got that.
Yeah.
I got yeah, that thing. I rarely. That's like the one of only two times that's ever happened.
Huh.
Boy, yeah. That bolted right up when that thing came over.
I mean, I'm like, what? So I went to my app notifications. I went to the weather, and I turned it off. Will that do it?
It depends on if it was an app making that notification or if it was a system alert from the phone. Do you know the pop-up that came up? Did it say?
It was a text.
Oh, yeah, it was
my text.
Interesting. So
there's got to be a setting on the phone where you can tell not you don't want that.
Yeah, there's an emergency alert setting somewhere. It's similar to the Amber Alert setting when a kid gets abducted. It's going to be in that same area. I believe they call those emergency alerts.
Okay.
So it'll be in your settings somewhere in there, and I would look for emergency alerts.
It's like notifications, badges, alerts.
Exactly.
You'll know the category when you see it.
Okay, great.
All right. Because
that's the last thing I want to happen. You know, if it's a tornado, I can understand. But a flash flood?
Yeah.
I'm way above everything else, so.
Yep. And those are horrible sounding alarms.
Oh, my goodness. I never heard. Scary. I'm not kidding. I never heard anything like it.
Yeah.
It's just something completely different.
Yeah.
All right, John, thanks.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening, gentlemen.
You too. Bye-bye. This has nothing to do with tech, but if you have kids, I don't care how old they are, this happened night before last, I'm pretty sure. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and my phone rang. And I have ringtones. I know which kid it is. I know if it's my wife. And it was one of my sons in the middle of the night. And I thought, oh, no. Because you think emergency room hospital.
Sure.
And I said, hey, bud. I called the old one, Bud, the second son, P, and my daughter, Lady. I said, hey, bud, is everything okay? He goes, yeah, I'm in the garage. You got the door locked to the kitchen? he had driven in, and we thought he was coming in the next day. He said, well, go ahead and drive at night and get it over with. Yeah, I'm in the garage. Come let me in. And I just, but people know what I'm talking about. If you have kids, and especially even teenagers, and they're out, and the phone rings at 3 in the morning, and it's one of them, it may be just to say, hey, I'm at Becky's house, and I'm going to spend the night. That's okay. But you just, for a second, your heart stops.
Sure.
You don't want that call. I've seen this name before. I don't think it's a real name, but that's okay. Bullet, welcome to 590 again. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hello, Josh Bauman.
Hello, Bullet.
No, it's just a nickname.
That's all right.
Anyway, you were talking about Mac computers a while ago.
Yep.
Ah, crap. Hi, Bernice.
Yeah.
I've got an older Mac about 10 years old. One of the hard drives on this thing crashed. It still boots up, but nothing pops up at the bottom. As far as, you know, the little tabs or whatever.
Right.
But I have, like Frank was talking, I've got old pictures on this thing. Are these things retrievable? And do you know anyone who can get these off this computer?
Boy. So your drive, pulling data off of a bad drive or a failed drive is very expensive. There's a place over in Edwardsville, Illinois.
Place that, in France where the women wear no pants.
There too, yes. That's a little bit harder to get to. But this place in Edwardsville will do it. But when I say expensive, I mean hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to pull data.
That's a new computer.
Wow. Yeah, that's a new computer, right. And I understand if you've got photos that are, you know, important to you. It could, now,
are they not in the cloud?
This.
Are they in the cloud?
Well, 10 years ago, would that have been before iCloud?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so there is one thing that you could try. If you could somehow get that drive out of that machine, and see, I don't know if Max will let you do this anyway, you could try mounting that hard drive as a secondary drive on another machine, and see if you could connect to that drive that way. But again, your chances of that, if the drive has failed, you're running a pretty low chance of that succeeding. But maybe it'd be worth taking it over to the Apple Store, making an appointment.
I gotta think they're in there. Let's put it this way: if the FBI was after Bullitt, they'd find
him. They could get him.
They'd pull him out of there.
And it depends. Like I said,
hey, I got an idea. Bullitt, go commit a crime.
Oh, there you go.
And the FBI will come seize your computer, and they'll get your pictures for you.
All right, yeah, that'll work. Yeah, because I can't remember what's on the thing because the thing crashed probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I still can't believe the battery on this thing. It's still the original battery. The battery still holds a great charge.
Wow.
And yeah.
It boots up the whole nine yards, but when it's kind of like just down, like booting up or whatever, just none of the little icons pop up across the bottom, and that's it. But I got my mom, my late mother's MacBook Pro, so I do have a computer, but
sure.
Even at that. Oh, and that's another thing with that one too is I'm trying to rip music from CDs onto it, which I got them in there. Well, I'm trying to download them into my phone so I can play these on the
right.
Razor or my Harley or whatever I'm going down the road. Well, it says I need the latest version of iTunes. Well,
iTunes doesn't exist anymore. Yeah,
what is it?
I didn't know. Said that earlier. I didn't know that. What do you mean they don't exist?
The iTunes app, Apple is no longer.
That's how I download my music
on the phone.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
But the iTunes app program on the computer.
Okay.
They are no longer releasing that application for the computer.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. That's another sticky one because what it comes down to is Apple's wanting you to buy music through their service, either Apple Music or from their store. The days of ripping music, I don't know how you would get that to your phone now. You'd have to connect the phone to the computer, but again, like you said, if you can't get iTunes, that's going to be an issue.
And I have an answer to his first question, by the way.
Okay.
I had a client who had an Apple computer, hard drive, it was damaged. He went to a client in St. Louis. I had to look it up because it's been a couple years ago, but I knew I'd recognize their name if they saw it. There's a company in St. Louis that can help you, and if Frank doesn't mind, I'll give them a free plug, or at least a website plug. Their website is compsolstl.com, as in computer solutions, but it's abbreviated, compsolstl.com, and they helped a client of mine out a couple years ago with that exact same problem that you're having.
All right, I've got it wrote down. compsolstl.com.
That's it.
All right, Bullitt.
Is there while you're here, I'm Mac 10 years old. I told you that.
It's a
desktop. I don't want to buy a new computer if I can help it. This things are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Is there somebody who could come out or I could take it somewhere and they just clean? My daughter just transferred everything on it to a little hard drive I could put in my shirt pocket.
Right.
Terabyte or something. Mm-hmm. So all the photos, they're all there. So could I just have the computer? I think it's slow.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it would need to have done to speed up a little, like just get rid of. Is there such a thing? I mean, that's a really stupid, lame question.
There are computer stores or services out there that someone will come to your house. The important thing by having a Mac is you're going to want someone that knows what they're doing with a Mac.
Yeah.
PCs, it's very easy to find a store that'll work on computers, crack a case, get in there and work on it. Macs and iMacs in particular can be a little bit more difficult because of the way they're built. Apple wants you to bring them to them.
Right.
They want to be able to control that environment or control what's happening there.
I'm thinking maybe it's a program.
When
I had a PC years ago, it used to be a thing called free disk space. You'd go and you'd scan.
Right.
You remember that? There were two process. It was a two-process thing. One was disk space, scan disk or something. Is there anything like that, I wonder, where you just go and just get rid
for
of stuff,
Mac,
bogging it down?
I would assume there'd have to be, I'd have to look it up, like a disk cleanup utility. That would clean up all your porn that you've downloaded.
Exactly.
If he's already taken off all of his pictures and files and stuff that you want to save,
just
right?
Say
system. You've already got everything. Yeah, just like, could he just reformat everything?
Yeah, you could do a system restore on it.
That would basically take it back to the factory settings, so you'd lose everything.
Yeah.
If you've already got a flash drive or got it. And then it goes right back to factory settings. And I think
it still won't work as fast, though.
No?
I don't think it's 10 years old. Processors.
Every technician I've ever had talk to me about this very subject, because I've gone through so many computers with my company, they say they're like car engines. They just eventually wear down from all the usage, and they just
eventually can't operate as
fast
as they
used to. Plus, in 10 years, the technology has changed. Right. It's not even worn down. There's faster stuff.
Well, and your expectations have changed, too. What was fast isn't fast
and
now.
I know I have crappy Wi-Fi, but some of the stuff has nothing to do with
right,
Wi-Fi.
It's local.
Pulling up your photos, waiting for them to pop up, waiting for Word, some type of document.
The biggest difference that has happened in the last 10 years that would help you is the popularity or gaining popularity of solid state drives. I guarantee that Mac has a hard drive in it that spins.
Right.
New computers now have drives that don't spin. It's like using a thumb drive for the drive that they run on. So data is accessed instantaneously, much, much, much faster. If you could get a solid state in that machine, you would that one improvement would make the biggest difference in the world.
All right, before we talk to Andrew, I have one more question.
Yes.
I'm starting to see on my phone 5G locally pop up. I know you told me
you don't have it. You don't have
so
a 5G.
So what does that mean? It's in the works. They're testing.
Yes, 5G is in the works in the St. Louis market from, I believe, each of the major carriers, AT&T included. Right. What you're seeing is 5GE, right?
No, just 5G up in the corner. 5G, maybe not.
It's anything.
So AT&T is rebranding their 4G services 5GE. It stands for 5G Enhanced. It's not 5G service. 5G service. Apple has not released an iPhone that is 5G capable, and they probably won't. I believe 2021 is the date that they're estimating. So what you're still operating on 4G service.
Right.
But 5G is coming. I promise you that.
5G I have a brilliant coming. Idea. When 5G comes, there'll be a lot of 4G phones, and what do you do with
right.
them? Right. I have a brilliant idea to resell them and make people want to keep them. And it's simply this. Group sex porn that is only available. It's called 4G Orgy. Now you laugh. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Glad you've laughed at all my ideas, all my screen.
His was a snicker. Mine was a groan.
Oh.
Neither one of us laughed.
4G Orgy.
Well, I thought yours was a sound of interest.
No, mine was
I thought that was like, oh.
Oh, no, he's interested.
Mine was spelled UGH.
Yeah. 4G Orgy. Ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing the sound of jealousy because they didn't think of it. 4G Orgy.
$1 million.
Andrew is here. He's been waiting long enough. Andrew, welcome to 590 The Fans. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hello, Josh.
Hello, Andrew.
I am AM and the PM.
Thank you, Andrew.
I have a question.
Sure.
I recently downloaded Tinder on my phone.
Okay.
And so I was at home looking at it, and it said, you know, a match was 50 miles away or whatever. And I got to talking to this person, and they told me where they live, and it was only about 5 miles away. So I went on my laptop at home and went to Google Maps and typed in current location.
Yes.
And it popped up over an hour away from where I actually live. And so I checked my iPad and my desktop, and they all have my current location for my home Wi-Fi as about an hour and 20 minutes away from where I live.
Yeah.
So then I went into, like, you know, Google Maps and went to get the exact address, and it's like an abandoned house. If you look at the images, which someone might look at.
Well, obviously somebody's messing with you.
Well, so what happens? So that's your home Wi-Fi. That's either cable or UVerse, right?
AT&T, yeah.
So most carriers don't register your exact address for your service. They have a generic rough area. When I'm at home, it's no secret I live in Festus. My service registers to Hillsboro, Missouri, which is about 15 miles to the west of me.
I got a better one. Today when my son was trying to download, it said on my phone, I'm on the computer, and the phone lit up and it said someone in Chicago is trying to access. It was me.
Yeah.
So that's the closest hub or whatever. That's
where your carrier is registering. That's where their carrier is registered at that point.
Andrew, is it possible that this woman just gives a fake, bogus address till she actually knows who she's dealing with?
Who knows? I mean, I've got women all over the town that hate my guts, so.
Same here, buddy.
So the only surefire way to get truly accurate information is if they're using your phone's GPS, and you would likely get you would have to consent to that. So the app would have to ask your permission to use your GPS location.
No, my main concern was just I was worried somebody was like hacking into my home Wi-Fi and doing something they shouldn't.
No, I would not be concerned. My gut tells me is that it's the generic address that your carrier has registered. It's not
okay.
They don't register home addresses.
All right. Thank you.
I thank you, Andrew.
Yep. Bye.
And John is next. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hey, Josh Bauman. How you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hey, with regards to the guy with the Mac that crapped out on him,
yeah.
and he's lost all of his information, I don't know why everybody doesn't buy a second hard drive and have the thing plugged into their Mac and use Time Machine. It backs up everything for the last hour, and so if your hard drive dies, it's there.
Because, John, a lot of people like me are lazy. I've had my computer 10 years. I've never backed up one thing on it until my daughter did it yesterday. And they bought me a terabyte, like a pack of cigarettes.
Put yep.
It's been sitting on my desk for 2 years because I didn't even know how to do it. And finally, and if it had crashed a week ago,
yeah.
I'd have lost whatever's on there for 10 years.
Yeah.
It was because we're lazy and we're stupid.
And realistically, John, to do it right, you need two copies. You need an online copy and another physical copy. So,
and you're right about that. You do need two copies.
Why do you need two if you have an external hard drive with all of it on it?
What if your house catches on fire?
Oh, that's good.
Exactly
well,
right.
I'm serious.
Well, then it would burn the computer and the hard drive,
right.
and it's gone anyway.
That's why you need the online copy.
I'm old school, and the way I got around that is I have a 3-terabyte Western Digital hard drive.
3-terabyte.
It's running constantly, and it's fantastic, and I love it. And about once every, I don't know, 2 months or so maybe, I have, Frank, like you were talking about, one of the 1 terabytes.
Yeah.
That I keep the safe deposit box.
Yep.
Wow.
And I'll bring the thing, you know, go up to the bank, get it, hook it up, back everything up, take it back up to the bank, and...
Well, you must run a business. I don't have anything that important that much of anything.
And it comes down to what kind of data loss you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable with 2 months, losing 2 months worth of photos or losing 2 months worth of documents, that's not a problem. And that comes from the IT person in me that, you know, I want to be able to roll back. If I have a catastrophic failure, I want to be able to know that my backup is 2 hours old, 45 minutes old, a day old. So, yeah, some of those practices, that's why I have a second physical copy at home and an online copy out in the cloud somewhere.
How do you feel about the security of the cloud, like iCloud and that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, obviously, the caller that recommended two-factor authentication this morning, that's a drum that I will continue to beat. iCloud has that an option, and that happened after all those celebrities got hacked and all their dirty pictures ended up getting leaked online. Two-factor authentication became much more popular. So if you're using an online service to hold data or pictures or realistically, any online service, enable two-factor authentication. Yes, it takes about 45 seconds longer to log into your service, but it will save you in the long run if you're ever hacked. Does that make sense?
Good.
All right, John.
Thanks, John. I'd like to say something quickly about photos. We've gone insane with photos.
Absolutely.
Back when you had to have a camera to take photos, especially when you had film, you'd shoot a roll of film, you get your photos, they'd be in a packet, and you'd go vacation 1998.
Yep.
Okay. I will never in my life ever look at the photos I have. There are thousands from the phone that are dumped in the computer.
Yep.
I'll never look at them.
Yeah.
It's actually a waste of photography because at the time, and then you look at them and go, oh, look, it turned out great. And a lot of them I never look at again.
Right.
And I've got 1,400 photos in my phone right now. I never look at 1,300 of them.
Yeah.
Ever. And I look at what was on that computer over time.
Sure.
And you're going through, you know, the 2006, and here's another, Arkansas, Tennessee. I'm not going to look at those.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
I'd have to spend from, let's say I make it to 80, from my 80th birthday to my 86th birthday every day just looking at pictures. That's, I mean, this is ridiculous.
So play devil's advocate there. So did the fact that you had to pay for film and you were limited to 36 exposures or 32 exposures in a roll of film, and then you had to
wait,
pay to have it developed. To have it,
of course, that had a lot to do with why.
Did that make you, did that make people a better photographer? Because you had to actually think about your composure.
And you only had 36 shots on that roll.
Exactly.
I think it did. And I don't think you just went around shooting everything and some things three and four times.
Exactly.
No, you were more particular and there's more of a thought process. Right. Okay, move over here. Let's get the light right. Oh, sure.
Yeah, and then the agony of getting a roll of film back from 1 hour processing and every picture is overexposed or you had the wrong setting. Yeah.
But my point is, because we can take pictures every second of every day, we have way too many.
And take it a step further.
And it's hard to throw them out. It's hard to delete a picture of your little five-year-old kid, even though you have 80 of his birthday.
Sure. Think about the amount of storage that places like Apple and Google have to have to be taking, like Google with my phone, I have unlimited storage.
Trillions.
For my photos. Yeah, it's unbelievable. What
quadrillions of pictures
it's
in
unbelievable.
The cloud. All right, my screen's down there, limestone. I don't see anything. It's black. It's gone. There it is. It's back. In closing, you have about a you got about 3 minutes. What is it we need to know?
So you probably heard about AT&T is going to be the first carrier to actively block spam phone calls and robocalls.
Good.
Well, there's a slight hitch there. They will notify you for free. They will alert you when the call is incoming that it is a likely spam phone call. But for them to actually auto-block those phone calls, they want you to pay $4 a month to have that feature.
Oh, of course they do.
Oh, sure.
How many monthly fees can we all keep paying?
Right.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Hulu, Roku, da-da, YouTube, this, and now this, and now another thing, Apple Care Insurance. I don't even want to go look. All the little monthly things.
Have you ever put a spreadsheet together of how many passwords you have?
No.
Don't do that.
No, I have not. No.
Oh, I have. I don't call it. The name of the file isn't passwords.
Oh, good. Know? Okay.
So, but I did
Social Security numbers.
I did put one together, and it's in the 80s.
Sure.
Oh, I don't have that many. I may have 9 passwords.
Seriously, Tim, look at a password management service like LastPass or some KeePass,
PassGas,
something like that.
The problem is some of them require that you change them monthly, and some of them once and done.
LastPass will manage that for you.
Oh,
if you install the browser or the plugin, it'll automatically set those for you and save them. Until
somebody hacks into that.
You have a strong password with 2-factor authentication turned on.
Well, once again, you've done it. I mean, you've answered questions.
Yeah.
Relieved headaches. I'm mad at myself because my son asked me to ask you about a particular business where they do work on Macs. It's a service, and I didn't make a note of it, and I don't know what it was. I'll call you or email you with it when he mentions it again. I think you know what to do here.
I'm Josh the Tech Guy. It's time to say bye.
And I think it would be a good idea, too, because we don't do it like we do Scott Sherman, law officer, give them your email address again.
Josh. Oh, man, I was thinking about Scott Sherman. Sorry. I was going to say law office of Scott Sherman.
Law office of Josh Bauman.
JoshTechAdvice@gmail.com.
That's easy enough. Yeah. JoshTechAdvice@gmail.com. All right. Thank you. Welcome back. Go take a nap because you can drive it. Drive
I
got
to go to a meet. I got a board meeting I have to go to tonight. So
B-O-R-E-D, board? Probably.
No. Well, no.
Not that kind of board?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do it again next Monday.
All right.
Now, will you be in town? Are you going to have a phone? Or
no. School starts in less than a month, so I am here. We got work to do.
What date does school start?
August 15th.
Too early.
Yeah.
Well, we just changed that law in the state for tourism.
Yeah, stupid.
Really?
You can't start school now two Mondays after the first Monday in September, I think.
Before.
2 Mondays before Labor Day?
Yeah. Two Mondays before. It's because the tourism people all got their panties in a bunch and Governor
Parson
just
doing
changed
is,
that
it
law.
It ought to be after Labor
but
Day.
But all they're doing is pushing the end of school back. It's dumb.
Just don't. Hey, kids, don't go to school. There you go.
Solve that problem.
Boy, would I love to have been able to not go to school. I couldn't stand school, and you can probably tell it. Well, it is Playhouse time and Bill Cleveland time and all the stuff that goes with it, like Mike Evans, so stay right where you are. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump might watch a little bit of testimony by former special counsel Robert Mueller in the House this week. Trump made the statement today at the White House, where he also accused Democrats of going crazy over investigations. He called the nearly two-year investigation by Mueller phony and called him conflicted multiple times. President Trump and the First Lady are paying respects to Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens as his body is lying in repose at the Supreme Court building today. Justice Elena Kagan says Stevens was a brilliant man with legal gifts and talents,
which he combined